Reading to you from the 6th chapter of Hebrews in the 4th verse. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the ages to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Dear friends, that is a scary piece of scripture. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a cup of coffee or glass of iced tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 16th chapter of Acts. Let's begin reading with the 9th verse. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in the city for days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposed that we would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman called Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she heard us saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. I've labeled this "The Lord and Lydia." Oh, friends, Paul had a vision. And then that vision, he heard a voice, "Come over unto Macedonia and help us." Dear friends, many, many, many years ago, I was pastoring a church in Corbett, Oregon, and I was called up to Bellingham, Washington, to preach a revival, the first revival I'd ever preached, and it was a dandy. We just enjoyed ourselves. And then shortly after that, I was invited back to speak on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. My wife and I and my kids, we drove up there. And we were getting ready to leave to come back to Portland. And they had a prayer meeting for us. And while they were praying, it was just like the Lord said, "Cecil, you come to Bellingham and help this church." I couldn't believe it, but I told the Lord that I would do it, and we did. Went back there, and we had the privilege of introducing many, many, many alcoholics to the Lord. So I know how Paul must have felt when he got this call. Expectations are high over the prospects of converts, and that's what we ought to all be looking for, an opportunity to tell someone about Christ. What a joy! And why don't people do it? Well, first of all, they don't think they have enough education. That's always the first thing I hear. Well, I'm not educated enough, and I don't know enough about the Bible. And listen to me. I've said this I don't know how many times. If you have been born again, and your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, and you know John 3:16, the most popular verse in the whole New Testament, you have enough ammunition to go out and introduce a soul to Christ. I'm telling you, God won't send you out until He prepares you. And did you know when He sends you? He's already prepared the hearts of the people that you're about to see. He works on both ends. And you say, well, Cecil, boy, I don't know. Do you think it works? I know it works. You know what my morning prayer is? Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and do me with power from on high. Lord, give me holy boldness and give me precious souls for my hire. He has done that over the past 51 years. It really works. See, we are saved to serve. We're not just saved to sit and go to heaven. I know there's a lot of Christians today, good people. I love them. But their church is more important to them than Jesus. They wouldn't miss a church service under no condition. They wouldn't miss a prayer meeting or anything. But I want you to know it's Jesus. You say, well, Jesus and the church is synonymous, yeah. But I tell you, Jesus is number one. See, Philippi was a Roman colony, and after a number of days, nothing was worth recording. Not a thing was going on. Well, sometimes we become disappointed too quickly. I understand, truly I understand, why pastors get discouraged. I sure can. They preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night, Sunday morning, and nobody accepts Christ. Well, now, friends, you know what's wrong? We have millions of lost people. Do you suppose it's because the church don't go out and visit? Maybe the pastor is not out visiting. Somebody has to go out from that church if you're going to get lost people to come in. And by the way, I want you to know that most people today are saved in their homes and not in church, believe it or not. Well, we do get disappointed. Oh, friends, listen, that's why I love prison ministries so much. There's never a service go by that we don't see 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 people come to Christ. Never a service. Well, I got so expected. And I'm telling you right now, it's a joy. Well, they were down there by the riverside, and the prayer meeting was by the river. Now, a Jewish meeting, well, it had to be on the Sabbath. Now, like many prayer meetings today, guess what? All women. You know what, dear friends? If it wasn't for women, we wouldn't even have churches today. That's absolutely right. The women are the one that lead out. Well, so Paul and them, they ministered to the women. Now, Lydia was a Gentile at a Jewish prayer meeting. Sure enough. Now, Lydia found her need so great, she found some place to go. She had a desire in her heart. Now, the Bible said she prayed and she believed God, but she was not born again. She didn't know Jesus. Friends, there's so many people today know about Him, but they don't know Him. Now, my wife knew about Jesus since she was a little girl, but she was as lost could be, because she did not think that she was a sinner. Now, the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, listen here. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart and responded to things spoken by Paul. Now here, she was a worshiper of God. Cornelius was a man that prayed always, gave alms to the poor, and he just loved the Lord, but he was lost. Beloved, are you a lost church member? Can you go back to a time in your life when you invited Jesus into your heart and you repented of your sins? If you haven't, you're lost. It's as simple as that. And if you die in that condition, the Bible said you will go to hell. It's as simple as that. I can't make it any simpler. Oh, friends, God doesn't want you to go to hell. He loves you. He says here in the... Paul really wanted to go to Asia, but in the seventh verse, and when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. He wanted to go, but God did not want Paul to go. There's been times in my life, I had an aunt, I just loved her, and she belonged to a religion that did not preach salvation, and she was in the hospital dying, and I went to her bedside and I shared with her, and all of a sudden it was just like, shut up, you said all you can say. And I walked out of that room, and to my knowledge, my poor aunt died and went to a devil's hell. Well, God brought the Lord, brought Paul to Macedonia. Lydia had come to the meeting to worship God, even though she was lost. She was sick of idolatry and emptiness. She was seeking the Lord. And you know what it said in Jeremiah 29:13? And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. And boy, there's a lots and lots of people out there waiting for you, waiting for me to come by and tell them what God wants for their lives. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to Paul's message, and she was born again. Let me ask you, is your heart open tonight to Christ? Remember, He's standing with outstretched arms, and he's saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace, or I'll give you rest. And if you're not born again, you do not have peace. You know, I've thought about it so many times when I was drinking, and I thought, and I told my wife I was having a good time. That was a lie out of hell. She knew I wasn't having a good time. I did want peace, but I didn't know how to get it. And I certainly didn't know that God could love a wretched sinner like me. The thing that that preacher told me the morning I saved, and it really opened my eyes. He said, Cecil, God does not love your sins, but he loves you, a sinner. And that message is for you tonight. You might think you're the worst sinner in the world. You may have killed someone. You may have robbed a bank. You may be a homosexual or lesbian or whatever, alcoholic, drug addict. But I'm here to tell you, if you will come to Jesus with that, confess to him that you are a sinner, and then invite him into your heart, and he will change you immediately. Don't get gussied up and try to come to the Lord all sweet and flowery. It don't work. Like the songwriter said, come just as I am, without one plea. Friends, we all deserve hell because we've all sinned. Yes, we do. Well, listen, Lydia found salvation so great she wanted others to know. Verse 15, and when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Well, why did she get baptized? Was it to save her? No. It's an act of obedience. It depicts a death, burial, resurrection. And then you arise to walk in the newness of life. Why do we have the newness of life? Because the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Now listen, and I've said this so many times, and oh, I hate to tell you, but when I staggered into that preacher's home drunk, crying, I was at the end of the rope. I was at the bottom. Couldn't go any farther down. Well, when I heard the news that God loved me, it perked my ears up because I had never heard that before. All I heard is, you're no good. You're a drunk. You deserve hell. But this man told the message of hope. Now, friends, John 3:16, it's the most beautiful scripture in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a love story from heaven. God penned that for you and me. Now, why would anyone die for you or for me? You know, when I hear about someone having a kidney transplant and they have to get it from their own family, I think that is wonderful for someone to say, here, take my kidney, I'll share with you. Now, that is a dangerous operation, but it happens all the time. But Jesus took your sins and my sins upon him who was sinless. Oh, was he ever tempted to sin? Of course he was. Did he ever sin? Of course he didn't. If he had a sin, he could not have become our Savior. Well, members of our household also believed and were baptized. We don't know how many family members or employees, but Lydia wanted to confess Christ publicly. Now, you see, now down at the rescue mission that night when those 20 were saved, I asked them to come forward, and I said, by coming forward, you're telling the world that I've repented of my sins, and I've prayed to receive Christ. And they all came up and stood. I have to sit when I preach anymore, and they all stood there. And then I had a word of prayer with them. Listen, friends, some of those guys come up here and hug. They weren't drunk either. Hug my neck and thank me. Thank you, Cecil, for coming down here in this cold night and telling us about Jesus. You know, friends, I was preaching in a huge church down in Dallas, Texas. I don't know why they'd ever call me to be their evangelist, but they did. And we were just winning souls, or introducing. We don't win souls, we introduce souls to Christ. And we were just out reaching people for Christ. And this one night, I think I told this not too long ago, where this deacon came up and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, Cecil, he said, I got to talk to you. I said, hey, after that woman sings a special, I've got to start speaking. I said, well, why don't you come over to my motorhome? We were parked out in a big old parking lot. Come on over, we'll have coffee, and we'll talk about it. He never did show up. Well, lo and behold, the next night, the same story. He said, I've got to talk to you. I said, okay, so there's a little prayer room off the side. There's a big old church. And he said, I don't know where I'm going. Well, it knocked me flat. This man had been a deacon in this big church for 20 years. He didn't know where he was going. He said, yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. So I went over the plan of salvation with him. And, you know, that deacon and I knelt there, and he invited Christ into his heart. Boy, howdy. During the invitation, he run down in the aisle and he grabbed the microphone. He said, look at me, I'm glowing. But he really was. I mean, there was the happiest deacon in the city, state of Texas. Well, so after the service was over, he said to me, Cecil, would you do me a favor? He said, I own a big business over here, and I have 50 or 100 employees, and he said, I'd like to have you come over there and tell him about how I met Jesus. I said, I certainly will. So the pastor and I went over there about 10 o'clock, and he got on the microphone and called all, they had a big meeting room there, called all those employees down to this meeting room. He introduced me, said, now, folks, I'm going to shock you today. like you've never been shocked before. All of you here thought I was a Christian. And really, I thought I was too, until God's Holy Spirit revealed to me my goodness and my money was not going to get me into heaven. And said, Cecil, and I knelt in that church and I invited Christ into my heart. Now, Cecil, you tell them what Jesus did for you. So I got up and I shared my personal testimony, gave an invitation. I do not remember how many prayed to receive Christ. And this wonderful deacon said, Cecil, I'm going to see everyone that prayed to receive Christ. Oh, friends, listen. Here was a man, a good man, not a drunkard, not an evil man. He was just lost. I have a cousin in the Dalles, love her to death, and I've been working with her for I don't know how many years. She still can't get it. I'm not a bad person, I said. It's not that you're a bad person, but if you haven't received Christ as Savior, you're lost. Ye must be born again. You can't get around it, beloved. Well, it was evident there was a number of people received Christ in verse 40. It says here, where's verse 40? On the next page, of course. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Well, Lydia found her blessing so great, she just had to tell somebody else. She wanted to share the good news. She found her life's greatest possession. Did you know, friends, the morning that I accepted Jesus Christ, I came home, took a bath, begged my wife to give me another chance, and I went up and I witnessed to an alcoholic that I drank with the night before. And I had the privilege of bringing into my church and see him give his heart to Jesus. That night he brought his wife back. She too accepted Christ. Oh, friends, listen. How are you going to keep this joy inside? If you've really got it, you got to share it. Oh, you've got to share it. See, her joy made her hospitable. She invited Paul and the others to her house. And she hoped they saw evidence of her faith. She invited them to stay as long as possible. And she urged them to accept her invitation. Now listen, she already loved the fellowship of other believers. She gave good evidence of her faith in Christ. Friends, listen, I told this before many times. When I joined our church, those people knew that at one time I was a town drunk. They put their arms around me and my wife and my children. They treated us like a long-lost brother. They invited us to their homes for dinner. They'd come over with their Bibles and have Bible study with me and my wife. Oh, I'd never had that kind of friends before. How I longed. That's why it's so good with my quartet plus one. After we have prison service or rescue mission service, we always go out and have a bite to eat. And we go over the service. What a joy. I can't explain it. When I call my good friend Bill Elton in the Dalles, he's my old class president, I call him to rejoice with him, and we rejoice together. We remember when we were lost in sin, I'll tell you. Lydia, an Asian, was the first convert in Europe. See, God's plan to reach the world is through people, not angels. You know, an angel can't even tell a person how to be saved. That's up to you and me. Now, the gospel would go to both Europe and Asia. God has been at work in his life before this meeting, but, oh, she found the message and she trusted Jesus. Let me ask you this, friend. Has God been speaking to you about salvation? Is this the reason that you tuned in tonight? Allow the Lord to open your heart to his word. And again, I say, he's standing at the door of your heart knocking. And he's tugging at your heart. And he's trying to get your attention. And he loves you. You see, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Do you understand that you're lost? Do you understand that you're sick of the life that you've been living? Well, why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Change all of that. You sure can. Well, listen, friends. There's a prayer Now, if it just prayed, it's just words, but if there's a truly a repentant heart and a desire to receive Christ as Savior, then God can come in and abide with you. And here's how this wonderful prayer goes. But beloved, please don't pray this prayer if you don't mean it. It could get you in a lot of trouble. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for the way my life has been. But, oh God, tonight I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer, get on the phone, call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Oh, friend, I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. No, I won't. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Well, maybe you've got a question you'd like to ask me. I don't know all the answers, but, beloved, I can find them for you. Sure enough. So, I'm waiting for your call right now. 303-471-8534. For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please pray for me and my wife and our quartet that God will bless us. God will give us precious souls for hire, and He'll take care of our spiritual, financial, and physical needs. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.